that, in different wording, the one that just comes to my head right now and to my mind right now, لِكُلِّ أَجَلٍ كِتَابٍ. For every ajal, the end of something, there is a kitab, it's written. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every single person will go through death. Everyone will experience this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for your death there is a time. If that time comes, it doesn't matter what you do or what anyone does, He will take your life and your life is over. This is one fact of faith that we have. Obviously, I don't know why I need to repeat this, but just in order for those who have a little less familiarity with Islamic teachings, when they hear that, they want to, right after, they want to hear that, oh, but we need to take care of ourselves. That doesn't need to be said. There is a responsibility for us to care for ourselves and for others in a certain context, in a certain framework. But the notion that we can stop death is not correct. The notion that we are responsible to stop death at all costs is not correct. There's a certain responsibility we have. And God will take the lives of those He wants with whatever means He wants, including the virus. This is a fact of Islamic teaching. Recite a salawat, please. Another fact of Islamic teachings is that Allah Mawlana. Allah is our Mawla. Allah is our guardian. Allah is the one who, as He is a Rabbul Alameen, He is the owner and Lord and in control of the entire existence, the smallest particles to the greatest stars and planets and galaxies and what have you of the material realm, to all the great creations of the non-material realm. He is the one who governs it entirely. Nothing can move or do anything without His will. This God, Allah, He is our Mawla. For the believers, Allahu waliyyul ladhina amanu. Allah is the one who takes care of alladhina amanu, of the believers. He takes care of you. Not simply the idea that He's Rabbul Alameen. Yes, everything is under His control. For the believers, Allahu waliyyul ladhina amanu. Allah is taking care of you. Inna Allaha ma'al muhsinin. He's with you. When Prophet Musa and Prophet Harun were given the responsibility, this great task, not to go and deal with people with the virus, go with and deal with the virus of human virus, the Fir'aun. Go invite him to leave his ideology. He was considering himself, he said to the people, أنا ربكم الأعلى. I am your Lord. The Fir'aun was saying to the people. God told Moses, this person who had fled the country, he had left Egypt because he had, according to their books, a crime on his hands. They were after him. He's a fugitive. A fugitive is told not to go to speak to the head of the police, to the top authority, the Fir'aun. Okay. and tell him, you're claiming you are Rabbukum al-A'la, Rabb of the people, the great Lord of all people. Tell him, no, you're not. Leave that, believe in Allah as your Lord, and listen to me. When he said, I'm a prophet, that means, and he did say, he said, follow me, I know more than you. You're going as Musa to tell Fir'aun, you're not the Rabb, sit down, God is the Lord, and he tells you and everybody to listen to me. What is Musa supposed to be thinking here? Obviously, he said, and those quotes are mentioned in the Quran, he said, Allah, you know, how can I do this? I'm afraid they're going to kill me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no. Inni ma'akuma asma'u wa ara. Inni ma'akuma. I am with the two of you. Okay. I see, I hear, I know what's going on. When I give you this mission, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to be aware. I'm not just simply with you in terms of presence. I'm with you. That means I'm your support. I'm your guardian. And it's not like I'm blind or I'm deaf. I don't know what's going on. I know what's going on. Don't worry. Just go do what you're told. He's going to take care of you. And that same Allah that told Musa and Harun, Inni ma'akuma. He says, Inna Allah ma'al muttaqeen. Inna Allah ma'al muhsineen. Inna Allah ma'al mu'mineen. Allah is with the believers. You think he doesn't see? He doesn't know? He's with you. Not just simply present. It's wilaya. It's guardianship. He's taking care of you. What does that mean? That means, whatever condition comes your way, as long as you are a mu'min, it is good for you. Whether you get the virus or you don't. Whether you die of the virus or you don't. Either way, is he not waliyul mu'minin? He is. Okay, this situation came up. I got the virus. Oh Allah, you said, I will protect you. Did I say I'll protect you in this life, meaning give you an eternal life here? No, I told you from the beginning, nobody's got eternal life here. I will take your lives one way or another. The prophets passed with various illnesses, and sometimes very painful deaths. You think my support of you means that you're not gonna die? Ever? Or you're not going to die of this illness or the other illness? No, the issue is that whatever happens, including your death coming, and the way it happens, I'm your wali, I'm doing it in your favor. Recite the salawat, please. We have an abundance of hadith talking about painful death for a believer. The Ahlul Bayt telling us painful death for a believer is a blessing for that believer. Painful death for a believer is a blessing for that believer. Allahu waliyul ladina amanu. He's a mu'min. She's a mu'min. She went through very painful death. We on this side sit down like, oh my God, why did this have to happen to this person? Hadith says, the Imams have told us, that is a blessing for that person. If that person wouldn't have gone through that because of their own deeds, they would have ended up having certain punishments post-death. And whatever is post-death, whether it's in barzakh, in qiyamah, or in, God forbid, in hellfire, much worse. We're sitting back, we're like, oh my God, this happened to this person. So what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually gave this to that person in their favor. These are our teachings and many more that are related to this. Why are we panicking? Why are we as believers panic? There's no need for any type of panic, any type of fear. There's responsibilities. Yeah, we have certain responsibilities. We're going to take care of those responsibilities. what's going to end up happening with that. You may do all of that. If Allah wants to take you, He will take you. You sanitize everything, you go to the store, grocery store, you bring it, you put it on the deck, you wipe everything off, take it in. Well, you think you're doing it. You think Allah is not in control of that. All it takes is 1 second. You don't even realize. You didn't pay attention to one little corner. And that tiny little virus ended up on that one little corner. That one little corner ended up in you. And you got the virus. And God takes you if that happens. You doing your responsibility doesn't mean you're not going to be taken. God tells us go to war. Do your taklif in war. Does that mean you're not going to die in war? Actually, you're supposed to love to get killed in war. Istishhad, becoming shaheed. Doing your taklif doesn't mean you're not going to get killed. Doing your taklif doesn't mean you're not going to lose your life. Doing your taklif doesn't mean you're not going to get the virus. These are two different things. Because God said you get. That same mawla that is doing this says, okay, you protected yourself, you did my, that's ibadah for you. You did what I tell you, now I want you to get the virus. Why are you doing that? There's no need. The internal state of a believer in these conditions should be tranquility, should be calmness, should be seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just like any other condition, any other day, any other difficult or easy condition. Imam Al-Kadhim salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi teaches us one of the lessons, as we said, that we can take amongst many is this. All the Ahlul Bayt went through hardship, through difficulty. Each of them in their own way. Imam Al-Kadhim was living at a time where if Imam Zain al-Abidin's time was very difficult because of Yazid and post-Karbala and the fear that existed amongst people, the conditions, at least at the time, for Imam Zain al-Abidin were that the Imam was actually protected. He was given protection. The city of Medina was attacked. And the Yazid announced that for 3 days, the whole city is yours, the army of Yazid, whatever you like to do there. All the women are yours, all the wealth, everybody, everything is yours. Do as you wish. I, as the Al-Ayyadu Billah, as the Khalifa of the Prophet, and making it halal on you. Do whatever you wish. Imagine this state, except for the house of Ali ibn al-Husayn, Yazid committed the crime of Karbala the way he did. When Waqatul Harra occurs, Imam Zain al-Abidin is a safe haven to the extent that Marwan ibn Hakam brings his family to the Imam and says, can I have my family stay with you? I'm sure they're going to be protected here. No one's going to come near this house. This is the condition at the time of Imam Zain al-Abidin. It was tough. There was taqiyya. The time of Imam al-Kadhim, the conditions were arguably, perhaps, more difficult for the Imam himself. And there's many reasons for that. If we were to try to at least get a more complete analysis and understanding of his time, not only him as a person, the movement he was leading, the movement of the Ahlul Bayt, the movement of the Shia that was led by the Ahlul Bayt, the conditions of that, the numbers, what state that was in, what the previous Imams up to Imam Sadiq salamullah alayhi had done for this. Where do they get the believers? Now what condition are they? All of that is important in order to understand the difficulty of the time of Imam al-Kadhim for him. But for the Imam himself, it was a very difficult time in terms of there being a threat to his life, at least throughout the life of Harun, known as al-Rashid. At least, if not earlier, some of the other khulafa at the time of Mansur, Abu Ja'far al-Mansur la'natullah alayh, and Harun la'natullah alayh, these two khalifas, there was danger for the life of Imam al-Kadhim. There were a couple of one or two khalifas in between that may not have been as bad. During these two khalifas' time, it was a very difficult time for Imam al-Kadhim. The fear that was created by the work of the Khalifa, and then the imprisonments. There's a lot to say and learn about that whole thing. What we're in, the conditions that we're in, I feel we need to remind ourselves of, is this. What is the state of mind and heart of Imam al-Kadhim in these difficult times? Times that his life is in danger, his followers' lives are in danger, he's got a responsibility that is dangerous, then he's imprisoned. That itself is a difficult condition. We can't take quarantine for a week. This is imprisonment, okay? Those who are incarcerated maybe can understand. Even they can't understand, because Imam al-Kadhim's prison conditions are not like these normal prison. Even solitary confinement is, at least part of the stay of Imam al-Kadhim in prison, is not comparable, the experiences that these people have had in prison. What is the state of mind and heart of Imam al-Kadhim in these conditions? Obviously, I mean, without even looking, without even... we know, obviously, he's going to be in a state of tranquility, in a state of peace of mind, in a state of sakina in his heart. How can we get to that sakina? How can we have that calmness? How can we allow our heart to calm down and make decisions based on reason and wisdom, instead of making decisions out of fear, out of the state of panic? How can we do that? Imam al-Kadhim salamullah alayh teaches us that as well. We'll read something from the Quran, a couple of verses, and then look at Imam al-Kadhim's behavior in these times, and something that perhaps we can remind ourselves of in these times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fath repeats twice, if I remember correctly, Huwa alladhi, in different wordings, this is one of them, Huwa alladhi anzala as-sakinata fi qulubi al-mu'minin. He's the one that brings down to the hearts of the believers from him sakina, the calmness and the tranquility of the heart. He's the one that does that. In another verse, a different word is used. It seems the same idea is presented. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Hearts can have tranquility with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam al-Kadhim salamullah alayhi, during some of what we have of him, and I think we've mentioned this before, during his prison sentence, while he was in prison, at times the prison guard or the Khalifa would come, and it was known to them, once another person came that was not familiar with this scene, and the prison guard or the Khalifa tells them, do you see anything in the courtyard? And that man says, I just see a cloth. He says, look more carefully. And he looks, but he's still not able to identify. He says, it's Musa ibn Ja'far. Worship, ibadah, prolonged sujood. In difficult conditions, we are more in need. Shaitan, forget this physical virus. Shaitan, that's why we said these are difficult conditions, not because of the virus, because of the state of mind and heart of people. Shaitan takes advantage of this. He comes to us. He wants us to lose that tawakkul in Allah. If you have tawakkul ala Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa ala Allahi falyatawakkal al-mu'minun, or wa ala Allahi falyatawakkal al-mutawakkilun. Only on Allah should rely the believers. If we only rely on Him, then what is this state? Worship of Allah. We need it. Shaitan wants us to leave that state of tawakkul. Leave that and think, oh, I need to do something now. Oh my God, everybody is buying this or that, stocking up. What's going to happen next? I don't know what's going to happen. Let's do this, let's do that, and so on and so forth. None of this is based and founded on any type of research, this type of behavior. It's not based on knowledge, it's not based on wisdom, it's based on panic. It's based on, what does panic mean? It's phobia that is based in kufr, shirk, and shaitan. That's what it's based in. Iblis wants to take advantage of this. How do we deal with it? Ibadah of Allah, ibadah, worship, prayers. Prayer. We need, this is the month of Rajab and it's coming to an end. This year's month of Rajab, I don't know how it went by in the state of all kinds of thoughts and behavior other than what the month of Rajab is supposed to. Let's take advantage of what remains of this. Let's not forget the month of Sha'ban is coming. Let's make this a condition that shaitan thinks is an opportunity for him to start controlling our behavior, our thoughts, our feelings, and us following him with the help of Imam al-Kadhim, the help of the Ahlul Bayt, that we get to turn it around and make it a time that we take advantage and we do more worship, more dhikr, more remembrance. If we have legitimately, based on reason, have ended up with more time, less work at home, no school, no work, or whatever the condition is, instead of allowing that and watching this social media outlet or the other and allowing it to penetrate our hearts and start feeling this anxiety and panic and, oh my God, what's going to happen next? Take advantage of it and do dhikr and worship and dua and prayer. There's an abundance of prayers. Brothers, have we and sisters, have we looked at the different prayers that are there? One of the most basic prayers that's out there is the prayer of Ja'far al-Tayyar. Prayer that was given to Ja'far, the brother of Amir al-Mu'mineen at the time of the Prophet. The Prophet gave him this prayer. They say, oh, this is, you know, Salat Ja'far Tayyar takes so long. That's not even one of the lengthier ones. Two of the basic prayers that don't take too long. If you have some extra time, take advantage. One is the prayer of Ja'far al-Tayyar. The other is the prayer of the 12th Imam. That takes even less time and it's simpler. We have hadith that tells us believers are supposed to have love for ibadah. They need to love ibadah. Wait for an opportunity. Oh my God, we have an opportunity now that we can spend more time in ibadah. Let's at least experience some of these prayers. The prayer of the Prophet himself, the prayer of Fatima al-Zahra, the prayer of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the prayer of Imam al-Jawad, the prayer, different imams, there's these different prayers. At least try it once. Some of them do more of, if you have more time on your hands, do more of those. Imam al-Kadhim, prolong sujood. Spend an hour at least. Once in our lifetime, 1 hour in sujood. See what it's like. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show us. He will give something in the heart, a flavor of iman that has not been felt, it has not been tasted, we have not had it before if we do this. And inshallah, with all of that, we come to a point where, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Awliya of Allah, friends of Allah, they have no fear and no huzn, no grief of any type of loss, whatever it is. There's no grief, there's no fear. I mean, I don't know what it means for a person to not experience that any longer, anymore. Our lives are filled with that. If we continue with doing continuing doing what Allah says, prayers, dhikr, reminding ourselves of the realities of this world, of our relationship with Allah, doing tawassul to the Ahlul Bayt, to Imam Al-Kadhim, put on, these are the times I would definitely recommend, instead of listening to all this nonsense, if you tap into these different social media platforms, all this negativity, you already know what the facts are. What else are you going to learn from that? Instead of wasting time on that, put something of the Ahlul Bayt on. Anoha, for instance. A recitation. Imagery. Look at, there's websites that show the shrines of the Ahlul Bayt live. Okay. You can go to those websites. Just look at the haram of Imam al-Kadhim, Imam al-Jawad. Maybe that'll touch your heart, make that connection with Imam al-Kadhim. Tears are given to you. Inshallah, Allah bless us in these times that we are able to get closer to Him, get closer to the Ahlul Bayt, inshallah. Sallallahu alayk, Ya Bab al-Hawa'ij. صلى الله عليك يا باب الحوائج يا موسى بن جعفر صلى الله عليك يا مظلوم صلى الله عليك يا غريب روحي فداك يا لعنة الله على أعدائكم. I don't know what that last prison was like. Some have described it was a tiny cell, levels beneath the surface of the earth. and the damp environment of Baghdad. I don't know if you know what I'm speaking of. It gets cold, it gets to your bones with nothing to cover. It was like a hole such that he couldn't even lay right and extend his legs even. Covered with barely any space to breathe. Ya Mawla, ruhi fida. They brought the body of the Imam out of the prison. Word had got out, Imam al-Kadhim had passed on. The Shia were waiting outside the prison to receive the body, to bury it. They say many people had come. It was a huge gathering. The body came on a wooden board. People were looking. All they could see were chains. The body of the Imam had gone and grown so weak. He was nothing but skin and bones. All the chains were more visible than his body. It was brought out. The Shia received the body. It was taken to the cemetery. A prayer shrouding the ceremony was a grand ceremony with a lot of participants. Ya Imam al-Kadhim, ruhi fidak. You were gharib. When you were in prison, no one was there to support you, to help you. They treated you as they wished. But Ya Imam al-Kadhim, at least when you passed on, your body was respected. Your funeral was one attended by many. Your burial, Ya la yawmka yawmka ya Aba Abdillah. Your grandfather was not only gharib before he passed, beheading him was not enough. They had horses trample over the body of Imam al-Hazim. They left your grandfather's body under the sun for 3 days. Imam Zain al-Abidin came in a lonely setting with a few people and performed the burial. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها بك يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى محبة أوليائك. والله, hasten the return of our Imam. Allow us to be his true and close companions, Ya Allah. Forgive us all of our sins. Forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. Ya Allah, we all have hajat, we have needs, we have requests. We ask you by the right of Bab al-Hawaj, Imam al-Kadhim, to grant all of us and all believers worldwide their hajat, their needs, their requests. Ya Allah, we ask you to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabiya wa Ali, rahimallah, man qara al-Fatiha ma'as-salawat.